Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise be to the all-wise, wonderful, living God in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm your host, Pastor David A. Shaw of Mighty Men of Hope and Deliverance, where hope, and I do mean hope, changes everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything in the name of Jesus. I'm truly honored in the name of Jesus to be live before you on Pastor David Shaw and Lady Diane Shaw Ministry and Friends, where we're giving you a powerful, anointed series and message on this evening in the name of Jesus, speaking about the Godhead, the Bible study according to the Bible in the name of Jesus. We thank God for allowing us to for you on this day, because this is part three of many parts that we're bringing forth before you. And we just want to first, before we get started, acknowledge the name of Jesus for being the head of our life. We also want to acknowledge our overseer, Bishop Joel David Chalfie. Before all that, I also want to acknowledge my wife, Lady Diane Shaw. She's truly an awesome, anointed woman of God in the name of Jesus. We want to say hello to all those listening by way of Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Skype, Blog Talk, even those listening in YouTube, those in the chat rooms, in the name of Jesus. I don't want to mention those, praise God, that are also going forth in the archives. We want to thank God for you joining us here on this evening, and those that will be joining us later on the archives, we want to say God bless you and thank you for your support. We want to acknowledge to you, praise God, on this evening that we, at Pastor David Shaw and Lady Diane Shaw Ministry and Friends, offer an opportunity every morning, Monday through Friday, to join us in a corporate prayer where we come together and we pray diligently for our community, for our nation, for individuals, for our families, for our wives, our children, in the name of Jesus. We want to acknowledge that on the Pacific time is at 7 a.m. in the morning. Mountain time is at 8 a.m. in the morning. Central Standard Time, which is where we're at in Illinois, it's 9 o'clock a.m. to 9:30 a.m. in the morning. And on the East Coast, it's 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. The Word of God says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, in the latter part, is that men ought to always pray and not faint in the name of Jesus. If you choose to decide to join us in our corporate prayer in the morning, please call us at 774-220-4000. Again, that's 774-220-4000 in the name of Jesus. We also would like to acknowledge, praise God, for those that have been following us diligently throughout the previous shows and even in our archives, that if you'd like to support our ministry in the name of Jesus, with a small token, we would appreciate you sending your prayer request or that of your token, if you will, your love token or offering, to 901 North 5th Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62702. Again, that's 901 North 5th Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62702. We also want to acknowledge that Pastor David Shaw and Lady Diane Shaw Ministry and Friends live reading our Bible scriptures. Every week we read these scriptures, praise God, every Tuesday and Thursday we read our scriptures. Every Monday and Wednesday we come forth with the reading out of the book of Destiny, Wednesday and Friday, we come with excerpts out of the book of Destiny. We read a chapter on every meeting that we have. Every Wednesday and Friday, we read out of the book of Destiny. Every Tuesday and Thursday, we come with on the Godhead in the name of Jesus. So with this being said, we encourage all those that listen far and near to tune in to us as we come forth working diligently in the ministry on a day-to-day basis in the name of Jesus. And for the Bible reading, we also are reading Genesis to Revelation in the name of Jesus, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And if you'd like to catch that on YouTube, you feel free to do so in the name of Jesus. Praise God. We want to truly give God praise, honor, and glory for being the head of my life. Before we go further, we always want to acknowledge God in the name of Jesus for all of what we do in Jesus' name. Let us pray. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we come before you on this day, we come once again humbling ourselves before you, acknowledging you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, for being the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and the Master of this universe. Father God, we just pause to say thank you. Thank you for all of what it is that you've done, all of what it is that you're doing, and all of what it is that you have done, yet for it has yet to come to pass. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for your Spirit, for all of what it is that you've done for us in our lives on today, allowing us to come before you boldly before the throne of grace to acknowledge you in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we continue forth, we ask your Spirit and your anointing to continue to reign upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But once again, praise God. And we thank you truly in the name of Jesus for joining us here on today. Come with a magnificent reading or study on the Godhead. Praise God, and we're going to take this slow so there can be many scriptures that are going to be read and to support our understanding and claim that Jesus Christ is God. And we're going to show this as we follow along in our Bibles, the testimony of this truth in the name of Jesus. According to the New Testament, that proclaims that Jesus is God. Let us begin. When we go, praise God, first and foremost, into the book of Acts, we see, according to Acts chapter 20, go there. Chapter 20, verse 28. The Word of God says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood, in the name of Jesus. So according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, namely the blood of Jesus in the Word of God. As we continue forth, we read that Paul describes Jesus as the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We go to the book of Titus, and as we read, praise God, we find Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Go there. Amen. Here we go. And the Word of God says that looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our great God and Savior, Christ. We continue journeying down in the Word of God as we see Peter. Peter comes forth, praise God, to describe him as God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we journey to 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1 of 2 Peter, the Word of God says, amen. Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of and our Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. So once again, Peter describes him as God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's whom he explains in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, to the next verse of acknowledgement and proclamation, we see that the Word of God acknowledges that our bodies are the temples of God. We can read this as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Here, the Word of God says, Now know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God in you? If any man defile the temple of God, he shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Which temple ye are? Ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, he shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Amen. We recognize, praise God, as we look at the book of Ephesians, we also find that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, that the word of God says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Amen. The Word of God goes on to explain that the book of Colossians strongly emphasizes the deity of Christ, for in him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily. As we go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, verse 9, and also chapter 1, verse 19. Book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 19. And as the Word of God says, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, for in him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then as we turn over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, the Word of God says, chapter 1, verse 19, that for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Praise God. And that's taken out of Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Now, all these scriptures that we're reading are scriptures that are read explaining about the Godhead in the name of Jesus. So as we continue on, the book of Colossians, as mentioned, strongly suggests and emphasizes the deity of Christ, for in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, as we continue forth, according to these verses of Scripture, Jesus is not just a part of God, but all of God is resident in him. If there were several persons in the Godhead, according to Colossians 2 and 9, they would all be resident in the bodily form of Jesus. See? So we are complete in him. And according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, the Word of God says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all the principalities and power. Amen. For ye are complete in him, which is in the head of all principalities and power. In the name of Jesus, whatever we need from God, we can find in Jesus Christ alone. We conclude that the New Testament testifies that the full deity of Jesus Christ. God was manifested in flesh as Jesus. The statement that Jesus is God clearly implies that God took on human flesh. This is in fact that of what the Bible says. God was manifested in flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. When we go to 1 Timothy, praise God, chapter 3:16, when we see verse 15, we will see for further confirmation that God is the subject of verse 16. God was manifested. He was made visible in flesh. God was justified. He's shown us to be right in the spirit. God was seen of angels. God was believed on in the world. And God was received up into glory. How and when did all this happen? In Jesus Christ. You see, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. We read this in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1 and 14. Literally, the Word God was tabernacled or tented in flesh. Tabernacle or robed himself in flesh. When? He robed himself in flesh in Jesus Christ. Both verses of Scripture prove that Jesus is God. And he is God manifested. He's revealed, he's made known, he's made evident, displayed, and shown in flesh. God is a spirit. Without flesh, the blood and blood and invisible to man. You see? Again, God is spirit without flesh and without blood and is invisible. In order to make himself to man and in order to shed innocent blood for our sins, he had to put on flesh. You see, Jesus is not another God or a part of God. Not at all. But he is God of the Old Testament, robed in flesh. He is the Father. He is Jehovah, who came in flesh between man and God that man's sin had created. He put on flesh as a man puts on a coat. Amen? Many verses of Scripture declares that Jesus Christ to be God of the Old Testament robed in flesh for the purpose of self-revelation and reconciliation. You see, to it, that God was Christ reconciled the world unto himself. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. The Word of God says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Again, the word says, to wit, the word to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And that's taken out of the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and this is where you can read this. And I'm giving you scriptures so you can go back and rehash what it is that I'm giving you to prove the verification of the information that's given on today. The Word of God says here, okay, that we know no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared, spoken, revealed him. And we read that in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 18. Amen. Go there. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 18. And the Word of God says that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Amen. There it is. God, who had sundry time, and he divers manners with various things that make in time pass unto the fathers by the prophets. And see, hath in the last days spoken unto us by his Son, the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. We read this in the book of Hebrews, praise God, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And the Word says here that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And we read about that in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 15, and 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 4. He is God, built in flesh. In Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 20, we read this. Let us go there. That's in Hebrews chapter 20, amen, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, and the Word of God says that, let's go here, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through his veil, that is to say, his flesh. And that's taken out of Hebrews 10 and 20. Amen. And as we continue on, we see that as Abraham prophesied, probably without understanding the full meaning of his own words, God will provide himself a lamb. We see this in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8. Let us go there. So everything we're doing, we're supporting it with scripture. And we want to assure you that it's not something personally that we're doing on our own, but that we're saying on our own words, we're saying what Scripture is saying. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, and the Word of God says, And Abraham said unto my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Amen. God indeed provided a body for himself, sacrifice and offering. Thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Hebrews 10:5. Jesus was the builder of the house, God the Father and Creator, and also a son over his own house. Hebrews 3:3-6 says this. He came on creation, and his own chosen people, but they did not recognize him or receive him. You read about that in the book of John 1:11. But the word in John 1 beautifully teaches the concept of God manifest in flesh. In the beginning was the word, Greek for word is logos. That's the Greek word for word is logos. Greek saying. The word was not a separate person or a separate God any more than a man's word is separate person from him. Rather, the word was the thought, plan, or mind of God. God was here, the word was with God in the beginning and actually was himself. In John 1:1, we read that. The incarnation existed in the mind of God before the world began. You see, indeed, the mind of God of the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. We read about that in 1 Timothy 1:19-20 again, and through Revelation 13:8. In Greek usage, logos can mean the expression or plan in the mind of the proclaimer, as a play in the mind of the playwright, or it can mean the thought is uttered or otherwise physically expressed as a play that is enacted on stage. John 1 says the Logos existed in the mind of God from the beginning. When the fullness of time was come, planned in action, he put flesh on the plan in the form of the man, Jesus Christ. The Logos is God expressed. Amen. In the book of John 1:1, as the word now was God himself. Flanders and Crescent said that the word was God's means of self-disclosure. You see, it's here this thought is further brought out by verse 14. In John 1:1, let us go there. John 1:1, we just read that. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again, let us go to verse 14, however. where the Word of God says in that same chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word shows in the name of Jesus, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's what we say here. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Full of grace and truth. And as we continue forth, we can read verse 18, where the Word of God says here that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Amen. And so we're looking at verses 14, verses 15, which says that the Son was declared the Father. The Greek philosophy, logos, came to mean reason or wisdom as the controlling principle of the universe. You see, in John's day, some Greek philosophers and Jewish theologians influenced by Greek thought, especially the Jewish thinker Philo Alexandria, regarded the Logos as an inferior, secondary deity or as an emanation from God in time. You see, here some Christian heresies, including an emerging form of nectism, were already incorporating these theories into their doctrine, and therefore related and regulated Jesus as an inferior role. John deliberately used their own terminology, to refute these doctrines and to declare the truth. But the Word was not inferior to God. It was God, as we read in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1. The Word did not emanate from God over a period of time. For John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Again. And God, over a period of time, it was with God in the beginning. John 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was none other than the Word, or God revealed in flesh. Note also the Greek word pros, translated with the verse 1, is the same word translated pertaining to in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, and the Word of God says here, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Let us read. Chapter 2, verse 17. Wherefore, things have behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And that's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Amen. end, we look at Hebrews chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. And the Word of God says that for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for man in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin, can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity, that's taken out of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. And we look at John chapter 1, verse 1 again, that's in the beginning with the Word, could include, in the beginning with the Word was with God, and the Word was God, is what the book of John chapter 1, verse 1 says. And even here we see it says that could include in this its meaning that there for the following, the Word pertained to God and the Word was God, or the Word belonged to God and was God. In the name of Jesus. Well, currently, praise God, we've come quite a ways and we've come across a lot of information to this point. But what we're going to do, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to continue with the conclusion of our study on the Godhead. So stick with us as we continue forth. As always, the only thing that's constant in life is change, and a change is coming. We'll be right back. It's been a long,
long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise be to the all-wise, wonderful, living God in the name of Jesus. Again, I'm your host, Pastor David A. Shaw, Monument of Hope and Deliverance. For hope, and I do mean hope, changes everything. We want to thank you in the name of Jesus for coming forth on this evening, in the name of Jesus, with our powerful study on the Godhead, where Jesus was God from the very beginning of human's life. Of his human life in the name of Jesus. And we bring an acknowledgement and proclamation behind that to the study of what's in the Word of God. So as we continue forth, we're going to continue reading in the conclusion of our study here on this evening. Please feel free to write down those scriptures to go back and hash what it is that discussed point. And we do thank you for joining us on evening, all those that are listening, all those that are joined in with us on this evening, 217, I see you out there. Thank you very much for joining us, and we thank you for coming on the program on this evening. Praise God. But let us continue forth. Those are listening by way of YouTube, Twitter, Skype, Blog Talk, we're listening in on the archives eventually, and those that are in our chat room, praise God. God bless you. I'll continue to listen forth of what I was bringing forth on this evening. But as we were speaking, praise God, we were talking about how Jesus was God from the beginning. As I mentioned, God was manifested in the flesh through Jesus Christ. But at what point in his life did God indwell the Son, the body, inevitably explains and declares that the fullness of God was in Jesus from the moment when Jesus' human life began. I like to turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And as we do, we're going to see what the Word of God is saying in chapter 1 in the book of Matthew. And as the Word of God says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God is with us. And that's taken out of the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23. And then we look, and behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He was God with us, even at his birth. The angels worshipped him at his birth. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, the Word of God says that, and again, that's in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And that's taken out of the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Verse 6. And as we go forth, Simeon recognizes the infant as the Christ. We read that in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 26. Luke chapter 2, verse 26. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 2, verse 26. And go right here. And he says here, it says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And that's Luke chapter 2, verse 26. And then you have Luke chapter 2, verse 38. And that says, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna saw the babe as the Redeemer of Israel. And as we read that in Luke chapter 2, verse 38, and the wise men worshiped the young child, as we read that out of the book of Matthew, verse 11. Let us go there, chapter 2, verse 11. And the word of God says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Taken out of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 11. Micah, now, chapter 5, when we go there, let's see, Micah, chapter 5, okay, as we go to Micah, chapter 5, chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, chapter 5, verse 2. And the word of God says, as we read this, he says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, thou be little among the thousand Judah, yet out of these shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And that's taken out of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. It says, ascribe deity to the Messiah at his birth in Bethlehem, not just after his life in Nazareth, but or his baptism in Jordan, in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Let us go there. 35. Says, and the angels answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And that's taken out of Luke chapter 1, verse 35, explains why Jesus was God at the beginning of his human life. The angel told Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus was born of a virgin, his conception being affected by the Holy Ghost because of his, well, therefore, he was the Son of God. In other words, Jesus is the Son of God because God, and not man, caused his conception, was literally his Father. For God was so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son in John 3:16. That God gave his only begotten Son, that he whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. To begot means to father, sear, procreate, or cause. Jesus was begotten by God in the womb of Virgin Mary. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, as we go there, Isaiah 7:14. The word of God says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen. This explains why Jesus was called God. This is why Jesus was God at the beginning of his human life. The angel told Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come before thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the Holy Ghost shall be born to thee, shall be called the Son of God. Jesus was born of a virgin, his conception being affected by the Holy Ghost. Because of this, therefore, he was the Son of God. In other words, Jesus is the Son of God because God, not a man, caused his conception. God was literally his own Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That means that Father, he fathered, he procreated, seared, and caused Jesus begotten God in the womb of Mary. As we read again in Isaiah chapter 7:14, also links the virgin conception with the recognition that the Son was born would be God. In other words, at the moment of conception, God placed his divine nature in the seed of the woman. The child to be born sees his life, fatherly side of his nature from God at this time. from the mother's side, that we see that the human nature of Mary. From the father's side, God, not Joseph, it received the nature of God. Jesus obtained his divine nature through the conception process. He did not become divine by some latter act of God. The virgin birth of Jesus established his deity. Some believe that Jesus, some latter time in life, in his life, such as his baptism. However, in light of the virgin birth in Luke 1, chapter 1, verse 35, this cannot be so. Jesus received the nature of deity as well as the nature of humanity and conception. The descent of the Holy Ghost, like the dove at the baptism of Jesus, was not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus already had all the fullness of God within him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's go there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. And he says, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead bodily. And that's taken out of Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Rather, his baptism, among other things, anointing, for the beginning of his earthly ministry, and as a confirmation to John the Baptist of his deity in John chapter 1, verse 32 through 34. Let us go there. That's John chapter 1. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bore record that this is the Son of God. Now, we will discuss the mystery of God, of godliness. The fact that God became flesh is one of the most wonderful and yet one of the most incomprehensible things about God, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, we read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And the Word of God says, in 1 Timothy, let's go there, 1 Timothy chapter, verse 16. And the word of God says, the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. Jesus is like no other man that ever has been or will be. He has two natures. He is fully God and fully man. Most problems in people's minds concerning the Godhead come from the great mystery. They cannot understand the dual nature of Christ and cannot currently separate his two roles. They not comprehend how God can take on a form of a baby and live among men. It is true that we cannot comprehend fully how the marvelous conception and the union of God and man took place in the womb of Mary, but we can accept it to be by faith. In fact, if we do not believe that Jesus is come in the flesh, we have an Antichrist spirit. 2 John chapter 7. Let us go there and see what thus says the Lord in 2 John chapter 7. Second John, here, chapter 7, we read, and it's really first 7, the word of God says that because namesake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentile, and that's taken out of 2 John, verse 7. But if we do accept this doctrine of Christ, we will have both the Father and the Son. And you can read that in 2 John, verse 9, where the Word of God says, I wrote unto the church, but Theotrophus, who loved to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Father and Son are revealed in Christ in John chapter 10, verse 30. As we go there, we see John chapter 10. Amen. And the word of God says, and this is going to be 30, chapter 10, verse 30, and the word of God says, I and my Father are one. And then we go to chapter 14, and we see where it reads, verses 6 through 11. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, for henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And we continue to read 14:6-11. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And thou. Show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and he, the Father, in me. Or else believe me for that very work's sake. And that's taken out of the book of John, chapter 14-11. And the mystery of God in flesh was a great stumbling block to the Jews. They never could understand how Jesus, being a man, could also be God. We see that in John chapter 10, verse 33. And let's go there. In John chapter 10, verse 33. And the word of God says, the Jews answered him, saying, For a good work done thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. Even today, many Jews cannot accept Jesus for this reason. In the conversation, an Orthodox Jewish rabbi told us could never accept Jesus as God. Verse 13, he felt that since God is an omniscient, omnipresent, invisible spirit, he can never be seen by man. He said, again, an Orthodox Jewish rabbi told us that he could never accept Jesus as God. He felt that since God is an omnipresent, invisible spirit, he can never be seen by man and cannot be visible in flesh. His reasoning reminded us of the Jews in this rabbi. They tried to limit God by their own preconceived ideas of how God should act. Furthermore, they didn't even have a thorough knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures to proclaim the deity of the Messiah. While it is humanly difficult to understand how the infinite God could dwell in flesh, yet the scriptures declare it to be so. We're reminded that the rabbi of God's appearance in the form of a man to Abraham in Genesis admitted this as a problem for him, but he tried to explain it in terms of the anti-verbism in the primitives in the figurative language. Then we referred to other verses of scripture, such as Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Let us go to chapter 7, verse 14 in the book of Isaiah. Again, it says, that therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Again, and you read about that in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God and Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6, let us go there, as Isaiah, Jeremiah 23, verse 6. And the Word of God says that in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And that's taken out of Jeremiah, verse 6. And Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, it says, but thou, Abraham, Ephrateth, thou, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. To show that the Messiah would be the Jehovah God, the rabbi had no answer except to say that our retranslation of these verses of Scripture were possibly incorrect. He promised to study them further. See, there never has been a mystery as to persons in the Godhead. The Bible clearly states that there is only one God, and this is easy for all to understand. The only mystery about the Godhead is how God could come in flesh, how Jesus could be both God and man. Both the truth of this mystery has been revealed in these who will believe. The mystery of Jesus Christ has been kept secret since the world began, but was revealed in the New Testament age. Romans 16, chapter 16, we read, as we go there, and say you go to Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. In the book of Romans, and the Word of God says that now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And that's read out of the book of Romans, chapter 25 and 26, Colossians, chapter 1, verses 25 and 27. Go there, Colossians. And all of this is tied to the Godhead. The Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. 1 and 25. Okay. It says, wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me from you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ in you, which is Christ in you, and hope of glory. Came out of Colossians 1:25-27. A mystery in the New Testament is simply not understood in the Old Testament, but which was made known to us. We may understand the mystery of Christ, which is in our ages, was not made known until the sons of men, as it is known now revealed unto us as the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. We can read this in Ephesians. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. And he says, whereby, when ye read, ye have understood my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which is in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is known now revealed, unto his holy apostle and prophet by the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Amen. And then so we can now know that the mystery of God and the Father, which is Christ, out of Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. And the word says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, see, we said Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Now, we're reading this out of the King James Version. It says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of the Christ. God has been revealed by us by God's Spirit. And we read that now in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 7. To 10. 7 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 through 10. And the Word of God says, amen. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained by before the world into our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor have entered into the hearts of men the things God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. In the name of Jesus. And so, the light of Christ, who is the image of God, has shined in our hearts. In 2 Corinthians, and let us go there, chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, the Word of God says that it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them. And we read that out of the book of 2 Corinthians, to 4, verses 3 and 4. And there is therefore no biblical mystery about the Godhead, and certainly no mystery about the number of persons in the Godhead. The only mystery is Christ. And he has been revealed to us. The mystery of God and the mystery of Christ converge in the incarnation. It is simply the one God of Israel came to the earth in flesh. This mystery has been revealed to God's word, declares that it has been made known to us. Scriptures confirm that Jesus is fully the God and fully man. Join us on Thursday as we continue the Godhead. Thank you. and God bless. And remember, let's break every chain.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break every chain. Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say to
break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
There's an arm. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain.